Hello and welcome to Filling the Sink, a podcast from Catalan News. I'm Lorcan Doherty and today we're talking about video games. Catalonia has long been known for its fine cuisine, its art and its architecture, but in recent years one new area where it's been making waves internationally is video games. And given that we're all spending a lot more time at home than we would probably like to these days, what better time to look at the industry that has transformed home entertainment? We've a packed podcast coming up, talking to several figures in the gaming community, an indie developer who's made a game, the pizza situation, out of our worst social media habits, an academic looking at how gaming principles can be applied in the outside world, as he says, to make miserable tasks memorable, and also the technical director of one of Catalonia's gaming successes, Monster Legends. I'm joined here in the studio by Catalan News journalist Alan Reid Thrall. Alan, are you much of a gamer yourself?
Hi, Lorcan. I used to be a gamer. When I was a kid, when I was a teenager, I would play Pokemon like so many hours, like Nintendo games. At some point in my life, I decided that it was over this phase of my life that I needed to focus on other things. But I still enjoy it when one of my friends invites me over and we play some new video games. I'm still amazed. I'm like an old man saying, "Oh, I'm amazed at the kind of things they do these days."
I played a little bit when I was younger. My cousin had a Mega Drive. I remember that was always fun going around to his house. And then we got a PlayStation and a PS2. But since maybe university, I haven't really played any games at all. So, well, maybe after this, I'll get back into it, you know. And in fact, one thing I've noticed here is, like, just around the corner from my flat, for example, there's a bar, a gaming bar, basically, where people go to hang out and play games. I've never seen that before. Is that common here?
Yeah, it's definitely something I've seen before and that I did with my friends when I was younger. But now with the pandemic and the restrictions, I feel like gamers have the perfect excuse to stay home and play video games, which is something they were already doing before.
So in Catalonia, and especially in Barcelona, there's been an explosion in the video game industry in recent years. In 2018, the industry in Catalonia had 429 million euros of turnover. That's 53% out of the total in Spain. Big international companies have set up offices in Barcelona, like Ubisoft, Gameloft, King and Scopely. But alongside that, Alan, there's a lot of indie games popping up.
Yeah, definitely. And I didn't know about it, and I was surprised when I saw the figures that around 50% of the companies have less than five workers. And I think it was around 75%, three in four companies will not employ more than 10 people. So most companies are actually small. They call themselves indie companies, indie studios. And what's interesting here, I think, is that they're actually doing very interesting stuff, very imaginative and daring games. And I had the chance to play one of these games.
So this is the pizza situation. I'm intrigued. What's that about, Alan?
Yeah, that's the name. I talked to one of the creators, Anna Guchens, so I let her explain herself what the game is about.
Okay, let's take a listen.
The Pizza Situation is a social media simulator, a very original one. But it's more than that. It's a parody of online culture, with a universe of over-the-top characters that feels surprisingly real, which in a way is an invitation to question how we use the internet ourselves. So let's start with the hero of the story, as seen by one of the creators of the game, Anna Guchens.
So the main character is Ronnie Mozzarello, who's the biggest pizza freak that you can imagine. So his whole life revolves around pizza. So, of course, when he starts university and finds out there's a party with a very special pizza that will be served, he needs to have his hands on this pizza. No one else can eat it, just him.
And the means to accomplish his goals are central to the game's innovative mechanics.
His only tools are the internet and social networks, so he will try to investigate people, the people who will attend the party, and prevent them from eating this pizza so he can find information about them, talk to their friends, and try to fix their life or maybe make a hell out of it as long as they don't go to that party.
One of the things I loved about the game is forgetting about the main missions for some minutes and just scroll down through the different social media feeds, getting to know the characters through their pictures and conversations with friends, which is not that different from what I do on my free time with my phone or what other people might do with my own profiles.
No one really gets educated on that sort of stuff, so we kind of want to raise this point of discussion, right? That things are very easy to manipulate online. That any sort of like just casual, easy information that you post yourself, like no one hacked you, no one got to you into your accounts, just any picture with your friends is already a lot of information, and people can use that against you. People can connect with people who have harmed you in the past. So this is, of course, very concerning. And with this game, we kind of want to raise the discussion of how easy it is to use and misuse the information online.
The night I tried the game, I was so absorbed that my computer ran out of power. But the big public will have to wait.
So we have a very early demo out, which is just a sort of a test for us of the first episode. There would be 6 episodes in total, so right now the basic systems are all in, and we need to fill out the rest of the content. We need to pump a lot of more new art and story to complete the whole game.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to playing the final version. Thanks, Anna.
Thank you. Thanks.
That's Anna Gashens from 3Bytes. So there really has been an explosion in the Catalan video game industry over the last few years. The turnover in 2015 was €217 million. And as we said earlier, in 2019, that's 473, more than doubled. And the number of employees has also more than doubled. The amount of students studying courses related to video games has also more than doubled in that time. It's now over 1,300. Everything seems to be looking pretty good. Alan, what do you think the challenges are for the industry?
Yeah, if you look at the figures, definitely like they look amazing. But one of the things that I found surprising when I was talking to Anna is that she told me how difficult it is still for some people studying video game studies to get a job. And on the one hand, that's one of the reasons why a lot of people decide to launch their own startups, create their own studios. So in a way, maybe it helps creativity. But on the other, there's a lot of people, she said, who have to quit, maybe to move to other countries. So even if Catalonia has definitely a booming video game industry, don't be so sure that you'll get a job if you study that.
Okay, and there's also the issue of gender imbalance in the industry.
Yeah, like in many other sectors, women are underrepresented in the video game industry. I think that in the last years, the number of women working in the industry hasn't surpassed 20% in Catalonia. So in a way, Anna is a minority within the video game industry. And that comes in stark contrast with women representing roughly 50% of gamers.
Now, we heard there from Anna, a small indie game developer. And we mentioned earlier the other side of the business in terms of big gaming multinationals that have set up offices in Barcelona. And there's also homegrown Catalan startups that have found international success. One of these is Social Point, founded in Barcelona in 2008. It specializes in mobile games. In 2017, it was bought by the US giant Take-Two for $250 million. Its games, such as Dragon City, have had more than 600 million downloads, which is the equivalent of 7% of the world's population. Social Point here in the Catalan capital employs 330 people, including John Davis, technical director for Monster Legends, which incidentally is the coolest job title of anyone we've had on Filling the Sink to date. Originally from the US, John describes himself as a world citizen. I asked him what drew him to Barcelona.
In the recent years, Barcelona has exploded in terms of tech. I don't think it's limited to gaming. I've never lived in a city that had such a closely knit network of gaming companies, so many talented individuals working for those companies. It's such a competitive environment. It's very difficult to find and retain talent, as you can imagine, because so many new companies are coming. I heard the other day that Bandai Namco is also creating a new office here. So, yes, it's a very exciting time for Barcelona in terms of gaming.
And why do you think that is? What kind of factors play into that?
I think it's a very attractive place for, at least for engineers wanting to work in the gaming field. It's nice, of course, to live near a beach and to experience the lovely weather all year round. I know that offices in Barcelona also tend to pay higher salaries than maybe some other cities in Spain. And this is also, of course, one way to attract top talent.
SocialPoint is well known for mobile gaming. Is that one of the reasons you think maybe that Barcelona has really taken off in the past number of years? There's kind of been a focus on mobile gaming as opposed to PCs or consoles.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think the mobile market as a whole is pretty big here. They, of course, have the World Mobile Congress, and I think there are many companies that are based around app development here in Barcelona.
I wonder, because we have to say the video game industry has been actually weathered the pandemic storm better than a lot, because
yes,
you're probably ahead of the game in terms of remote working and things like that. And obviously demand for video games certainly hasn't gone down, I'm sure.
We were quite surprised with how easy the transition was to remote work. In fact, after working remotely for 2 to 3 months, we realized we were actually more productive. What we've noticed during this pandemic is that remote work offers us the chance to attract top talent from around the world. I'm not sure if SocialPoint will take advantage of the situation and actually start to reach out. We're still looking for local talent because there's so much available. However, it's looking like gaming will be moving more and more in this direction in the coming years.
I mean, you mentioned there that there's so much local talent. What would you put that down to?
So, at least in comparison to the United States, education is really easy to come by in Spain in general. This is, of course, one big factor. The other factor is, I believe, personally, the way that at least the people in Barcelona are attracted to gaming culture. This is the first place I've lived where there are gaming bars, like bars oriented around gaming and playing video games. They have food specialized towards video games. So it's actually, I think, built into the Spanish culture. When I was moving into my apartment, I was carrying a statue of Ryu from Street Fighter. And there was a young girl, maybe 4 or 5 years old, and she noticed it. And she laughed. She's like, "Look, mommy, Ryu. So from a very young age, I think children are being integrated into this kind of gaming culture. And, you know, if you enjoy gaming as a child, it's quite likely you'll try to join the industry as an adult. This is what happened to me.
What would you say the challenges are that the industry faces?
One of the things that is always a struggle is creating the new hit. I think the market is more saturated than ever with high-quality titles. An indie game developer can create a game that's just as good as one created by a AAA studio nowadays, you know.
And have you got anything up your sleeve?
Not yet. We're trying. We're trying very hard. The problem is, like, no one knows how to perfect this game creation process, you know? It's very difficult to tell what the masses will enjoy. I think recently there was an explosion in people playing this game called Among Us, and the game is years old, but all of a sudden some streamers online decided to start playing this game, and it exploded. It's a bit like rolling the dice.
It's funny you mention Among Us because just earlier today, I was out doing some shopping and there was a little girl and her dad walking along the street. And the girl must have been about 7 years old, I would say. And she had an Among Us t-shirt on. There are a lot of female gamers, but there are less females working in the industry. Do you think that's something that needs to be addressed?
I think diversity is a huge topic in the gaming industry and in tech in general. It's a struggle. First of all, the pool of available female talent in terms of engineering, it can be sparse depending on the location that you're in. Currently, it's very, very difficult to get female applicants into your pipeline. So right now, what SocialPoint is doing is we introduced a diversity program. What we want to do is address our recruiting practices, our normal day-to-day working practices in order to create as diverse an environment as possible.
John, if you came across someone who said, "Nah, do you know what? Video games aren't for me," and you were tempted to try and, you know, persuade them that maybe they're wrong, how would you go about it? What would you say to them?
I think about gaming perhaps a little differently than other people. I think we're all gamers. I believe all of us play games in a certain way. whether it's balancing the checkbook or going shopping online, for example. This is a game. So I think we're all gamers.
John Davis from SocialPoint, the technical director of Monster Legends. Big thanks to John for taking the time to talk to us on Filling the Sink. Now, many principles and elements normally found in games are increasingly being applied to other contexts, like health, marketing, work, and education. This is known as gamification or serious games. Oscar García Pañella is the academic director of New Interactive Technologies at the University of Barcelona and has a gamification consultancy called Cookiebox. As Oscar explains, gamification is more about psychology than technology, so he prefers another term for it.
Motivational design, can be called gamification, serious gaming, is this science where we apply game design rules in order to sort of turn miserable experiences into memorable experiences. Normally you take like a complicated, complex, boring task and you try to turn it into something, you know, like really, really great and fantastic. So we had a client in Cookiebox in my company that was asking for something in order to improve the meetings. So we devised a campaign, a gamification campaign, where they were allowed to play a card game at the same time that they were performing a meeting. So everyone in this company goes to one of the meeting rooms and they will find the table and the chairs. And in the middle of the table, they have this beautiful card game, beautiful aesthetics and fun that you can play when you're meeting, and you have all these, you know, sort of traffic lights cards where you can use the red and the yellow and the green, and it's fine because you have all the permission to play it. You have fun, but you're sort of sending messages and you're sort of rearranging some behaviors. We've had, you know, like master and postgraduate courses based on video games since the last 20 years, but we didn't have anything based on video games at an undergraduate level. So ENTI, the New Interactive Technology School of the University of Barcelona, decided to open, you know, like this university school in 2013, where you could take this video game degree in order to learn how to program. This is one of the tracks. How to do all the 2D, 3D art, or even how to produce music. And of course, everyone takes game design. And it makes sense because the ecosystem is huge. I mean, we have Game Lab, which is an event that happens in Barcelona, one of the most important in Europe. We have Nice One, which is the massive influencer YouTube, you know, like super cooperative MMOs, games, things that happen in Barcelona. But we also have Retro Barcelona. We also have Indie Dev Day. We also have Serious Game Camp. So a lot of events. And we also have more than 100 companies coming all the time to Barcelona, which is sort of the casual, social, mobile development, you know, city. This is a hub. This is an absolute hub.
Oscar García Pañella from the University of Barcelona, and our thanks again to him. Time now for our Catalan phrase. What have you got for us, Alan?
Yeah, it's not a phrase, it's a word, but it's a beautiful word. It's a nice word in Catalan. It came to my mind when I was playing The Pizza Situation, and I think it really describes pretty well the main character called Ronnie Mozzarello. And the word is gulafra, which is basically a glotton, I think in English you call it, and it's glotón in Spanish. But in Catalan, it's a bit different, and it's gulafra, which I think sounds really gentle and beautiful.
Gulafra, inspired by the main character. What was his name?
Ronnie Mozzarello.
That's a great name as well. And that's it for this week's podcast. Thanks to everyone who talked to us for today's episode. Anna Guchens, John Davis, Oscar García Pañella, and Alan, of course. Thanks to you too for tuning in. Next Sunday is the Catalan election on the 14th of February. So instead of our usual Saturday episode, the next instalment of Filling the Sink will be on Monday, February the 15th, with a full roundup of the election results. Until then, from me, Lorca Doherty, and all of us here at Catalan News, take care. Bye for now. Adeu.